Airlines face a deadline to cap flights at LaGuardia. An EasyJet 737 takes its crew on an uncommanded wild ride. And Eclipse passes to a new owner without an auction. This is Aero News. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for downloading this AeroCast. Here's what's up in aviation for Thursday, January 15, 2009. U.S. Transportation Secretary Mary Peters announced yesterday that airlines operating at New York's LaGuardia Airport will have until February 2nd to tell DOT which flights they'll voluntarily give up in order to reduce congestion at the airport. Quote, "We need to take steps now to help flyers avoid gridlock at LaGuardia this summer. These voluntary reductions will provide immediate relief while efforts continue on long-term solutions to aviation congestion in New York," unquote. The final order requires carriers to voluntarily reduce scheduled operations from an average of 75 per hour to 71. The reductions must take place by May 31st and will be in effect until October 24th of this year. The voluntary caps are a stopgap in place of the slot auctions DOT wanted, but which were stayed by court order. The National Transportation Safety Board is joined with the UK's Air Accidents Investigation Branch to investigate a curious and disconcerting incident involving a Boeing 737 over East Anglia on Monday. According to the NTSB's preliminary report, the EasyJet 737 was on a routine non-revenue checkout flight, flying circuits over Southend at 41,000 feet, when the aircraft violently entered an uncommanded nose-down attitude. The report describes a pretty wild ride. Quote, "VMO was exceeded by 100 knots and a 10,000-foot loss of altitude occurred," unquote. Other reports indicate the plane actually lost 26,000 feet in about 2 minutes. That'll pin your VSI. The crew was able to recover from the maneuver and the jet landed safely in Southend. None of the four people on board were injured. There's no word on damage to the airliner. Several U.S. lawmakers are expressing optimism that theatrics which resulted in anti-business jet language in federal bailout legislation will not affect the final version of the Troubled Assets Relief Program. Kansas Congressman Todd Tiert has introduced an amendment to the TARP Reform and Accountability Act of 2009. If it's passed, it would nullify a controversial measure introduced by Massachusetts Representative Barney Frank on Friday. Frank wants to require divestment of private aircraft or leases by any companies receiving federal assistance. The Wichita Eagle reports the House Committee on Rules will hear debate on the matter Wednesday, with a final vote expected Thursday or Friday. Kansas Representative Dennis Moore told the Eagle he's working with Frank to strike the language in exchange for stronger oversight of executives spending TARP funds. Lawmakers, industry sources, and the National Business Aviation Association have all warned that a clumsy blanket ban on the use of business aircraft could both make the affected companies less competitive and result in the loss of thousands of support jobs in the general aviation industry. The auction for what's left of Eclipse Aviation, scheduled for yesterday, never happened because no prospective bidders came forth by Tuesday night to challenge the standing offer from eTurk Aviation. The Associated Press reports learning from Eclipse lawyer Dan Guider that Eclipse consulted with two committees made up of both secured and unsecured creditors to determine there were no qualified bids for the company. A source close to the talks tells ANN no fewer than four entities considered bidding on the Eclipse assets, including at least one established business aircraft manufacturer, but in the end, each opted to walk away. That clears the way for eTurk Aviation of Luxembourg, the largest shareholder in Eclipse, to continue its plan to buy the company through an affiliate. AP reports Eclipse Jet Aviation International will pay $28 million in cash. Part of that plan includes the issuance of $160 million in new notes and an offer of 15% equity in the new company to current secured noteholders. The sale includes only the assets of Eclipse. There's no formal response yet from an ad hoc customers committee formed last month to represent the interest of Eclipse owners and depositors who had put down an estimated $300 million only to become unsecured creditors. Up next on ANN, U.S. Airlines did a little better in November. A passenger's bill of rights gets another chance in 2009. And Mesa Air Group plows ahead through tough times. You're listening to Aero News.
Diamond Aircraft's new DA-40 Diamond Star XL includes all popular Diamond options, combined with the sensational new Garmin GFC 700 Autopilot, a higher performance power plant, and increased gross weight. This makes the Diamond Star XL the perfect choice for affordable personal flying. The Diamond Star XL features equipment and enhancements that increase performance, capability, safety, convenience, and comfort. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3220.
Uncramp your style in a new Citation CJ2 Plus from Cessna. Now with integrated ProLine 21 avionics, FADEC, and a restyled cockpit and cabin. In the CJ2 Plus, you'll carry more payload than you could in the original CJ2. You'll climb and cruise faster. You'll have the freedom to use even shorter runways, and you'll do it all on less fuel. For a sure thing, call 1-800-4-CESSNA.
We're back with more of your Aero Briefing for January 15th. I'm Paul Plack. DOT's Bureau of Transportation Statistics says the 19 carriers which report statistics improved their November 2008 on-time performance and cancellation rates over the previous year, if not over the previous month. Numbers released yesterday show an overall on-time arrival rate of 83.3% for November. That's up from 80% even in November of 2007, but well short of this past October's 86.0. For the second month, BTS also logged reported incidents of passenger strandings, but with the disclaimer that the numbers continue to be pretty much meaningless due to inaccurate reports from the carriers. BTS says it is, quote, reviewing other parts of the tarmac data reported by carriers for October and the following months. Data will be released when the review is completed, unquote. As often happens, Hawaiian Airlines posted the best on-time performance in November at 89.6%, while Atlantic Southeast Airlines brought up the rear, again, at 75.3%. You can find more details in the text version of this story at aero-news.net. Advocates of federal regulation to address tarmac strandings are going to take another shot at the airline lobby in 2009. FlyersRights.org tells ANN Senator Barbara Boxer of California and Senator Olympia Snowe of Maine introduced an airline passengers' bill of rights in the Senate on Tuesday. The bill would give airline passengers legal rights not to be held indefinitely on planes, ensure the needs of stranded passengers are met, and help airlines coordinate with government agencies. FlyersRights.org founder Kate Hanai commented, quote, we applaud Senator Boxer and Senator Snowe for introducing the Airline Passengers Bill of Rights in Congress to give passengers legal rights and ensure their well-being. It's our hope that this bill will give passengers a legal voice when confronted with the horrific ordeal that tens of thousands of passengers have endured when held for many hours on airport tarmacs without food, water, and other essential human needs, unquote. She adds that then-Senator Obama was a co-sponsor of a similar previous bill, bringing encouragement about his signature if the new bill passes both houses of Congress. Mesa Air Group is looking at a 2009 which threatens some daunting financial hurdles. The company finished 2008 with a $31 million quarterly loss, brought on in part by an underperforming joint venture in China. The Arizona Republic reports Mesa is being forced to make arrangements within the next 2 months to either repay or renegotiate $92 million in bonds against existing debt and resolve its contract dispute with Delta Airlines. Its GO subsidiary in Hawaii is still running losses. Demand for its contract services is down. Tuesday, U.S. Airways announced plans to trim the number of U.S. Airways Express flights operated by Mesa this year. Mesa released its financial results on Tuesday, several days sooner than scheduled, after NASDAQ threatened to delist the company. The stock closed on Tuesday at 26 cents per share. That's about half of NASDAQ's minimum standard. There are some bright spots. The $31 million fourth quarter loss was half the loss sustained in 2007's fourth quarter, with quarterly revenues off less than 1% from 2007's fourth quarter. Mesa CEO Jonathan Ornstein remains upbeat. Quote, while many obstacles lay ahead, we're encouraged that the restructuring efforts begun in 2008 may permit the emergence of a reinvigorated company in 2009. We continue to execute our restructuring plan and take steps needed to improve the financial and operational performance of the company, unquote. Recent reports of comments attributed to NASA Administrator Michael Griffin have made it clear he didn't expect to hold the post after Inauguration Day. The former rocket scientist has been criticized by some, called a genius by others, but has certainly been unafraid to ruffle feathers and has, at times, eloquently skewered his critics in public statements. At times, he's appeared to stick out his chin and dare Congress to take its best shot. Now, MSNBC is reporting that President-elect Obama, who campaigned on a promise to make space exploration a lower priority, has chosen a replacement for the sometimes colorful Griffin. MSNBC reports retired Air Force Major General Jonathan Scott Gratian is a decorated jet fighter pilot who was reared by missionary parents in Africa and spoke Swahili before he did English. He'll reportedly be Obama's choice to head NASA. Mention of Gratian's name is already drawing fire, even from within the Democratic Party. Former astronaut and current Florida Senior Senator Bill Nelson, who actively campaigned with Obama, apparently takes a dim view of Gratian's lack of space program experience. The expected nominee's only role with NASA came in 1982 as a White House fellow for NASA's Deputy Administrator Hans Mark. Senator Nelson's comment upon hearing of Gratian's likely nomination was, quote, "I think President Bush made a mistake when he appointed someone without NASA experience in Sean O'Keefe to head the agency," unquote. O'Keefe was the NASA administrator who ended up resigning after the Columbia disaster. If the new president hopes for a smooth confirmation process for Gratian, he'll do well to get the Florida senator on board. Nelson is the chairman of the Senate Subcommittee on Space, Aeronautics, and Related Sciences, which will be charged with evaluating Gratian's credentials before the full Senate is asked to confirm him. Still ahead, two ground workers face criminal charges for failing to report damaging a parked airliner. Two escape injury when their Piper hits a tree and a house. And Australians note the passing of an aviation pioneer. You're listening to Aero News.
You hear that sound? It's one of the all-time great inventions. Takes lids off cans just like that. But now, let's picture something even bigger. A tool that can take the lid off a whole airport. Actually, thousands of airports. It's a Garmin WAAS GPS. Lets you make glide path approaches using runways that were once closed tight during IFR conditions. Hey, if you're gonna fly in the soup, you gotta have an opener. Garmin WAAS GPS. Follow the leader.
We're back to wrap up your Aero Briefing for Thursday, January 15th. I'm Paul Plack. Two now-suspended British Airways ground workers are free on bail after being arrested for hitting a parked jet with a baggage truck at London Heathrow Airport, then leaving without reporting the incident. London's Daily Mail reports the men, ages 49 and 54, were operating an electric vehicle used to move baggage when they hit the side of an Airbus A321. The resulting damage wasn't noticed until it was spotted by ground crew near the airport's Terminal 5, after the plane had already taken on 80 passengers and was waiting to taxi for departure to Aberdeen about 8:30 p.m. Friday. The passengers were taken off the plane, which was then taken out of service for repairs. A report in the Mirror stated the men have jeopardized careers which total 40 years between them. Damage to the hull of an airliner is much more than a cosmetic nuisance. In the U.S. in 2007, a Northwest Airlines DC-9 and an Alaska Airlines MD-80 both suffered rapid depressurization incidents at 19,000 and 26,000 feet respectively when their fuselages ruptured at spots damaged by ground vehicle strikes which had gone unreported. Both men in the Heathrow incident have court dates in about 6 weeks. British Airways declined to discuss further details with reporters. The FAA reports two people escaped injury when a Piper Lance in which they were flying came down on the second story of a house on Roanoke Island, Virginia, Tuesday night. WAVY Television News reports the pilot of the single-engine plane was attempting to land at Dare County Regional Airport in Manteo about 6 p.m. when he hit a pine tree. The plane came to rest on the second-story deck of a private home. There was a fuel spill, but no fire. The plane had departed Monroe Regional Airport on an IFR flight plan about 4:20 p.m. Neither occupant of the aircraft appeared injured, but both were taken to a nearby hospital as a precaution. A witness told the station he heard the plane pass overhead and said it sounded like its engine was having problems. Southwest Airlines confirmed on Wednesday it has completed the second half of a leaseback transaction designed to raise $350 million in cash by selling off 10 Boeing 737s. The first five planes were sold to an undisclosed leasing company back in December in a deal which came to light in a filing with financial regulators. The Dallas Morning News reports the first half of the deal commits the company to lease back, operate, and maintain the first five planes sold for a period of 12 years, and the ones transferred January 8th for 16 years. The airline will make payments of about $260,000 per month for each of the first five planes and $253,000 a month on each of the aircraft in the latest transaction. Both payments may be adjusted for market conditions after 6 months. Southwest is reportedly using the leaseback arrangement to bolster its cash reserves to cover losses related to its fuel hedges. While buying fuel months and years in advance gave Southwest a considerable competitive advantage when crude oil prices were skyrocketing, the hedges became a liability when jet fuel prices collapsed late last year. In December, the airline raised another $400 million through the sale of senior debt instruments. And finally, AeroNews is saddened to hear of the loss of a true aviation legend, one who paved the way into the sky for Australian women. Nancy Bird Walton was the first woman in Australia to operate a commercial aircraft. She learned to fly in 1933 at the age of 17, becoming the youngest Australian woman to earn a pilot's license. She was taught by Sir Charles Kingsford Smith, who was the first man to fly across the mid-Pacific. She later flew passengers on sightseeing flights over Australia in a Gypsy Moth biplane, then flew an air ambulance serving remote communities in the outback. That operation earned her the nickname Angel of the Outback. In 1950, she founded the Australian Women Pilots Association to mentor other women. She was named a living national treasure by the National Trust of Australia in 1997. In 2003, Women in Aviation International selected her as one of the 100 most influential women in aviation throughout the world. In a more recent honor, the first Airbus A380 operated by Qantas bears her name. Of that honor, she said, quote, "I was asked if Qantas could name this plane after me at my 90th birthday 3 years ago, and I made it my decision to stay alive," unquote. Nancy Bird Walton passed away at her home in Sydney Tuesday at age 93. She's survived by two children, four grandchildren, and two great-grandchildren. Granddaughter Anna Holman had this to say, quote, "I most remember her as my grandmother, who was a part of my everyday life and who was exceptionally inspirational to women all over Australia. But most of all, she made great chocolate cakes with peppermint icing," unquote. That's the latest from Aero News. Remember to check out the ANN special feature. Today, ANN Editor-in-Chief Jim Campbell talks with Rhett Ross, president of Teledyne Continental Motors, about how the company is lowering prices to help pilots keep flying in the economy of 2009. And if you haven't done it yet, subscribe to our AeroCasts. Find them on iTunes, Yahoo, Odeo, and at our website, www.aero-news.net. That's Aero spelled A-E-R-O. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.